Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Hello everyone everywhere, this is Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast today. You know, the Bible is known as the Word of God, as it is and as it should be. Jesus is known as the Son of God, as He is and as He should be. Then in John chapter 1, verse 1, we read, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God." If you drop down to verse 14, we read, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us." Now this scripture is referring to Jesus. Amen. Now, don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. Amen. So if the entire Bible is the Word of God, and the Word of God became flesh in the form and body of Jesus, it would make sense then that everything Jesus said would be what? The Word of God. Now, if you were talking with some important businessman and that person was going to give you his secret for success, would you rather go and read just the synopsis of his life or listen to what he actually was saying to you? That's how we should treat the four Gospels, because they record what Jesus actually had to say to us. Well, my guest today has spent 12 years completing an absolutely marvelous book called What Did Jesus Say? The Seven Messages of the Master. Terry Christian is a former inspirational speaker, an executive trainer with over 20 years' experience, giving more than 2,500 presentations to audiences all across America and Canada. Several years ago, he retired from public speaking after being led by the Holy Spirit in what he calls a redirection for his life. Today, he counsels individuals and couples seeking a more mature understanding of their relationship with Christ, and he believes the message taught by Jesus was the way by the Word. Amen. Now, coming all the way to us from Jamaica, where he now lives, help me welcome to the program, Reverend Terry Christian. Terry, thank you for coming on the program today.
Thank you for having me. It's my honor to be here.
Amen. Now, Terry, the first question I always ask everyone is this. Other than the information I just shared, tell us in your own words, who is Terry Christian?
Well, today I'm a full-time servant of God doing His will, His way, to my best understanding. I'm here in Jamaica because I came here 10 years ago, dying of bladder cancer. I came here to do what I called the life walk, which was create a controlled environment where I could think this thing through in prayer and fasting. So for 21 days, I came down here and walked the 7-mile beach, 59 miles for 59 years of my life, read the four Gospels to find out what Jesus said about healing, found out in Gospel of Mark there were some Jesus couldn't heal. I brought that deep into my spirit, and when I returned to see my doctors a month later, they released me cancer-free. Amen. That changed everything. Amen. Because instead of dying of bladder cancer in 3 to 5 years, I was now cancer-free. I just had to restore my body. Now, even though that started just a beginning of a series of Job events, which was to test me on the quality and to complete the book, it was my eye-opener that brought me to Negril. So I've been coming here for 10 years, and now I'm retiring here only because a local family has pretty much made it possible for me to live here at half the cost. I can't really live anywhere else in where I'm from in California like I can here. So I'm very blessed. And I get to work with the local schools and the parents because of my motivational days. I now train the parents, teach the parents how to be better examples for their children in school. And in Jamaica, if you do not embrace your education, you will not overcome the adversities that is in this country for everyone. And especially now with the virus out there, the tourists are gone as of this week. And I'm helping people learn the value of good food, which they have here on the island, and good sunshine, which they have here on the island, and the ocean, which they have here on the island. And I'm showing Jamaicans why people come from all around the world to be here, and they're already here. So it's helping the Christians understand that prayer and fasting is what you embrace if you're afraid of food and dying of illnesses. So I'm here. I'm glad to be here. And that's what I'm doing.
Amen. Now, your ministry is called Foundations for Life. Tell us about your ministry.
Well, Foundations for Life is strictly an online ministry so that I can help Christians around the world. Now, the word help, H-E-L-P, stands for helping everyone live peacefully. If we're Christians, we have access to the purest teaching possible. That's in the four Gospels. What did Jesus say? But what did Jesus say to those who loved and followed him? Not about the religious arguments of his time. That is in his time. But when you went with Jesus for a walk or went to the top of the mountain or he brought his disciples up his inner circle for his time, he taught us how to follow him and live with him. And so that's what I'm about. And that's what my ministry is about. So I'm only here to help Christians do what Jesus said so they can live in peace, beginning in their home, beginning in their bedroom. And if Christians can't make it in marriage, who are we going to point to? And if the Christian divorce rate is equal to the non-Christians, what are we going to say about ourselves? So I believe it's impossible for a Christian marriage to fail. It can only fail to be a Christian marriage. Amen. Amen. So I get to teach this, but I use what did Jesus say? Not what did people think he meant, but what did he actually say? And if we do what he said, we're not carrying these other side issues of life problems.
Amen. Amen. Now, as I said, when you started out, you know, as an inspirational speaker, how does that mesh with what you're doing now in the ministry?
Well, thank you for asking, because it's easy for us to talk now and for you to see me do this and say, I've done 2,500 motivational speeches around the country. That's all easy to do right now. But at 23 years old, I was already a high school dropout. I left home at 16, a violently dysfunctional family at home. My mom was very heavenly and raised me on the four Gospels. My dad was just the opposite of that. So that's a whole other segment we'll save somewhere else. But at 23, in a near-death experience, I had a full life moment with Jesus. I saw the white light. I heard his voice. I understood where I was at in a near death, and I heard the voice say, do you want to stay here or go back? And I said, what would I do if I went back? And I'm in front of multiples of people teaching them what Jesus said. And I said, I'll go back. So if you're a stutterer all your life and people are laughing and making fun of you, and at 23 you started to stop stuttering and work yourself through it, it changes your life. And then I read several hundred books on personal development and motivation. It was God preparing me at 23 for what he told me to do when I was 49.
Amen.
So that's how it all started. Now, but when I was 46 years old, I was in what many people go through called a midlife crisis or a midlife collision. And I teach on this now. I call it making a midlife correction. And at 46, I'm a motivational trainer, but I'm not healthy, I'm not happy, things aren't working out, and the Holy Spirit calls me away at 46 to fast 46 days with no food. Wow. Water, juices, no sugar, but no food. And I went for 46 days, and it just changed everything within myself. Mm-hmm. 3 years later, I returned. During the next 3 years, I was in motivational speaking. I got to the top of my career, and then I was called away. And next thing you know, it's 20 years later. I went through this book of Job, and here I am now, healthy and vitality abound, and I know it's doing what Jesus said that makes the difference.
Amen. Amen. And, you know, I love reading, you know, about the words of Jesus. And I've interviewed an author of a book called The Red Letter Bible, where he took the words and made it into a little Bible. But I'm really impressed with how you organize your book, What Did Jesus Say, The Seven Messages from the Father. What was your motivation for writing this book?
Well, the motivation for writing the book was instructions. I didn't have any motivation until I was told to do it. When I left the business I really wanted to be in until it was time to be called, I was called away. So I left it, and for 1 year, I was pretty much all by myself. And where I was used to having a group around me all the time. I was used, by that time I was blessed. I owned my own limousine. I lived in a $1 million home in San Diego. I traveled and just did speeches. Now I'm on, I buy me a Harley in my 49th year, and I spend a year on the motorcycle by myself, me and the Lord. Now it's time to do something. I turned 50. Lord, what do you want me to do? I want you to write this book. No, I said, Lord, what do you want me to do that hasn't already been done? Because I didn't know what to do. I was raised on the televangelist. I've followed a lot of people. I watched them go up and down and fall and go sideways. And I knew how many denominations and non-denominations and personality-driven preachers and pastors and evangelists there are. I was overwhelmed. Lord, what do you want me to do that's not being done? Yeah. And he said, I want you to tell them what I told them and nothing more. Mm. Boom. That was it. Amen. I haven't read a book about Jesus in 15 years. I have read what Jesus said. Now, I've read the academics about how the Bible was assembled and how it was voted together in the Roman Catholic Church and 1,500 years of the popes and their participations. And then I've read about this, what happened in 1600 and the trouble of that and the 30,000 denominations we now have around the world professing Christianity. I've done my study on that now. I'll sit next to the rabbi or the Bible scholar because I know they're still debating the issues. I've seen them. You cannot grab any one denomination without another denomination attacking the credibility of it. Amen. If we do not return to know, if we don't know what Jesus said, we're always going to be telling everybody what someone else is saying.
Yeah, what somebody else is saying what Jesus said.
That's it. So I was put into the seven messages. Now, I just didn't create this. I asked the Lord for it. I had already learned how to be a self-study, to become a motivational speaker, get to the top and be endorsed by these guys. You have to know who they are and who they said to read the books of. So I knew how to become self-educated. So when I got into the Gospels, these seven messages came to me in a certain order, and then I went to fulfill the seven messages within the order. I only changed the order one time in one message. I switched the order, and after that, I've lived by the order of the seven messages. And it's filled with 500 scriptures spoken only by Jesus to those who loved and followed him. At the bottom of each page, I put the scripture location to go and find it. It is an easy read, but it grabs your heart because there's no opinions added to it. Amen. And that's the key here. Purely, what did Jesus say?
And that's what makes this book different from other Christian books. There's
entirely different. Entirely. That's it. Because where am I going to come with? What opinion am I going to give you? There's 10,000 of them already out there. I just take Jesus at his word. If he said, follow me, do what I say, abide in my word, follow my example, we get pretty specific on that. That wasn't a suggestion. And so what we have is so many Christians giving you opinions. For instance, when Jesus sent his disciples to only go to the house of Israel, well, that we have them saying, well, that's all that Jesus came to do. That wasn't it. In the closing sequences of Matthew, he says, go make disciples of all nations, teaching them what I taught you and baptize them in my name. That's called instructions.
Amen.
And that now we go back to read the Gospels to find out what he taught everyone. And since as Peter and Paul and all them were dying, the Gospels were written so we would know that we know that we know. Yeah, so that's what I think about it.
Amen. That's awesome. That is awesome. Now, we see at the time of this recording, you know, basically mass chaos in the world right now because of this Wuhan virus or coronavirus.
Right.
It has different names.
Right.
Jamaica is really a tourist destination, not just for Americans,
yes,
but people around the world. And you alluded to how things have changed over there. What has that virus, you know, are they like isolated? They're not going out in public or anything like that? How has the normal life of the people where you're at changed?
Well, first of all, there's only been a couple cases out of Kingston from a couple who came back from the UK. Now, that's all they have. Now, but in this last week, they've shut everything down, all major stores, wherever there's a group of people for 2 weeks. By this weekend, there'll be no more tourists on the beach because of other countries not letting you leave their country for pleasure.
That's right.
So Jamaica, for the first time in a long time, the tourist trade is leaving. And now all the people that work the beach with the, you know, with their baby, with the children at home, they're all at home now. And so my whole goal now in my campaign, as I get done with you, I will go into town and speak with people. Now that the tourists are gone, what are the hotels going to do with all the food? What are the farmers going to do that fed this community daily and weekly? So my goal is to help them understand that we're only needing food. They got the best water in the world. The cruise ships fill up their water in Jamaica. So when you get down to the basics, it's how do we live our life? So it doesn't matter what country we live in. What matters is how do we live in that country? So sure, there's many people worried and scared and afraid. And if you don't know Jesus, you should be scared and afraid. But if you know the master teacher, and if you're a Christian, if we're not showing the world the example of trusting God, if we're not, if you don't have any food, then fasting is the most intelligent thing to do.
Amen.
And if you ask God, here in this country, they have a big thing called, I give God thanks. So every day it's about giving God thanks. And I tell them, if you're going to give God thanks, he gave you life, then ask him for something to do today and he'll help your life. So we can't just thank God that we're alive. We've got to ask God for something to do because he woke us up.
Yeah.
So the only thing we have here is the fear and the ignorance that causes fear to abound. And when you have fear in Christianity, that is really a hard issue to explain. Jesus said, in the world you'll have tribulations, but you'll have my peace in your tribulation.
Amen. Amen. So what should Christians be doing, not just in Jamaica, but wherever they're at right now? What should Christians be doing right now in these turbulent times?
The first thing we should be doing is seeking God for peace in our own life and our own prayer. We must take our prayer to God in our home and leave our home walking in prayer. We must be the example to let the Holy Spirit ask for the peace. What are we worried about? We're worrying about things that haven't happened yet. We're worried, yes, we're not going to go to work. We're worried about the economy, but we're in fear, F-E-A-R, false emotions appearing real. We must be genuinely concerned, intelligently concerned. But the first thing we do is protect our own home and our own family with our own conversation, our own prayers, our own confidence. And then we send our family outwardly, trusting God inwardly. What else can we do than that?
Amen. Amen. Amen.
But we can do that immediately today. And I suggest you read the Gospel of John while you're at home and find out why that gospel is so special and why it's called the spiritual gospel. And then at night, I encourage you to go out and look at the stars and gaze at the stars at night and see the perfect universe that goes on. I've enjoyed I wake up at 3 and 4 in the morning, so I enjoy the stars like I've never done before. But when you have a near-death experience and you're going to die of cancer, you start enjoying sunrises, sunsets, and the stars. So I suggest we enjoy the sunrise, the sunset, and the stars and ask God to give us wisdom and learn a trade, learn some new skills, develop something. But if you're a Christian giving into fear, who are you going to explain that to?
Exactly.
But someone who didn't know any better either.
Yep. Amen. What do you think Jesus would say in this day and hour in which we live?
Well, let's just say, what did he say to his disciples when he was when they woke him up in the great storm and they're all afraid, okay? And he woke up and he said, be still. What are you afraid of?
Right.
And then he calls Peter out on the water, and Peter comes out on the water, and he gets afraid and he starts to sink. Jesus says, what are you afraid of?
Yep.
So if you want to know what would Jesus do, that's why I like my book, WDJS. Well, what did Jesus say?
Yeah.
No worries, no fears. Now, what did he say? He said, when you pray, do not pray vain words. God knows your needs already. Go into your closet and pray. Well, God knows this virus is going on,
exactly.
Where it was caused, how it happened, and what's going to be the outcome. And to me, this man-made virus is here to test. This is God's way of testing every Christian. We do not know. If Satan did not engage God in another conversation like he did with Job, and when all the sons of God got together and said, hey, now you got these Christians down there on earth. I'll show you how they'll fall apart in worry. And next thing you know, we're allowed to have the virus to see what happens to the Christians. Well, what if the Christians practice prayer, fasting. They believe in healing. They comfort one another. They help one another. What if we try that approach? That's what Jesus would say to do.
Amen. Amen. And in doing so, you enlarge the body of Christ because you're a light
absolutely
shining in the darkness.
Absolutely.
Satan loses twice over.
Absolutely. But we validate who we are. We're actually demonstrating to God how we handle this right now, who we are, and do we trust him or not.
And that's what it's all about. Do we trust him or not?
And we can't validate it, you know, if we don't do it now.
Amen. Amen. Let's go back to your book for a minute. Can you tell us a synopsis of what the seven messages of Jesus are?
Well, the seven messages have an order of importance. It's based on you're going to the beach, you're going for a walk on the beach, and you come across a group of believers waiting for Jesus to appear and teach them. What would he say? Would he talk about the political arguments of his time, or would he talk about love, light, and truth? So message number one is called the Christ. Jesus appears and says, I am the Christ. He declares that to his disciples. I am the Christ. And then he says, I have come down from heaven to do my Father's will. Well, yes, that's what he said he did. And so we know in message one called the Christ, whatever Jesus said about being the Christ in the four Gospels, I composed it into a message right there. So when you're done, you know he says, come to me, all you who labor. I'll give you my peace. Take me above everybody else. You must love me more than you do your family. I mean, he sets the record in message one called the Christ. Here, this is who he is. Come get some. Now, message two is called the Father and the Son. Then we find out that Jesus honors his Father. He talks about his Father in all four Gospels. He said, I speak whatever my Father tells me to speak. So now we know he's speaking. This is called God's Word. This is not man's opinion of the Bible as all God's Word. This is Jesus saying, God told me what to say. Now, we're just making it pure wine now. We're not watering it down. So now in message two, we find out the Father and the Son and why the Father brings the Son and nobody comes to Jesus without God calling them to Jesus. I just want to let the evangelists and preachers out there understand the best you could do is preach the truth and God will bring them to you. Okay. So then I go to message three. Now, message three is called the Word. Jesus said he is the Word, but he said, watch your words. You'll be judged by your words. Be careful of your words. Words are important. And then he brings us into the sower and the reaper of the Word. And then he tells us about the vine and being true to him. Now, this is very real things. So in message one, two, and three, first thing we know, he's the Christ. His Father is God. He's here to teach what his Father said. He's the Word. Be aware of the sower, the reaper. Message four. I like that most. It's the longest of all of the messages, but it's subject-centered. It's called, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Amen. It starts off with the two most important commandments. Love God with all your heart, and with all your mind and soul. Love your neighbor as yourself. Next page says, if you love me, if you love one another like I love you, you'll be my disciple. The first part talks about love. Then it talks about forgiveness. Or no, love your enemies, then forgiveness. And then it goes into love, light, truth, forgiveness, prayer, fasting, divorce, adultery, children, Christian brotherhood, kingdom of heaven, treasures of heaven. All the subjects Jesus spoke about. No health, no hate, no worry, no revenge. And so each page has its own lesson. Now, the lesson may only be two or three scriptures, but you don't need more support material, Jesus said. So message four brings you into what to do over these circumstances that we live in life. On prayer, most people don't know your prayers don't get answered, according to Jesus, if you haven't forgiven somebody. Okay. If you hold against anyone, he said, leave your prayers and go forgive that person. Prayers aren't answered if we don't believe. He said, if you pray believing, you will receive. If we don't put those things together, no wonder our prayers aren't being answered. And if we don't say the Lord's Prayer, no wonder we don't walk in peace every day, okay? So those are things we're to do. But message five is called the Kingdom of Heaven. So all the parables Jesus spoke about the kingdom of heaven that are relevant are in message five. But he begins with the narrow gate. Okay. And modern day Christianity has tried to turn that into a wide gate. It's a narrow gate. And then I'm instructed to bring in Matthew 7, 21, 23. Not everyone who calls me Lord, Lord goes to heaven. That's and he right. tells in future terms, he says, those of you will come up to me and say, didn't I do great things in your name? That's called future. Didn't I do miracles in your name? That's called future tense. And I will say, depart from me. I never knew you, you who practice lawlessness. Mm. Now, that's a big chunk of the 30,000 Christian religions trying to create a division based on their differences instead of unity based on their similarities.
Amen. Hey, folks, Pastor Bob here. We are all out of time today for my interview with Reverend Terry Christian, author of the book, What Did Jesus Say? Seven Messages from the Master. Now, Terry has shared with us his background and how he came to write this great book. He's been sharing the seven messages contained in the book, but we've run out of time today. Praise God. So you need to do two things right now. First, be sure to go down into the show notes down below and purchase at least one copy of this very important and intriguing book. This is a great resource to have in your library. I say at least one copy because I believe this book is so good, you actually need to get two or three of them and sew the extras into the lives of someone else. Amen? The second thing you need to do is come back tomorrow as we conclude our interview with Terry. Amen? Like you just heard, he's a great communicator and he has been going through the seven messages from the Master, Jesus, as outlined in his book. But since we ran out of time today, we'll be concluding the interview tomorrow. So until then, this is Pastor Bob reminding you, be blessed in all that you do. Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this, your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing Faithcasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on Faith-Based Podcast. Share your unique insights and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with Faithcasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the Faithcasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. Faithcasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a faithcaster. Faithcasters, your voice, your platform, your success.